done for us. You may have a seat. He paid that price for us. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you. All right. Well, this morning, we want to take a look as we prepare our hearts for Easter. Easter's coming. It's about a month away, believe it or not. So we've got a number of messages about the resurrection, the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ that I'll be sharing with you over the next number of weeks. And then, of course, right in the middle of it, we have the team from Teen Challenge. They'll be sharing with us. But this morning, we want to take a look specifically at the body of Christ. This is my body, I've entitled it. And we're going to look at four observations about the body of Jesus Christ as it relates to Easter, the Christian Passover. So the body of Christ is a number of things that that the scriptures tell us about it. And the first thing is that it is a real human body. Now, this seems pretty elementary, but it's still very, very important. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." It is important that Jesus Christ had a real body and that he suffered in that body. He wasn't just a ghost. He wasn't just a theophany, that is, an appearance of God that looked like a man. No, he became one of us. You know, that's one of the reasons why we celebrate Christmas, because we recognize that Jesus really was born as one of us, yet without sin, but still completely 100% human. And so the suffering that he took on our behalf is real suffering. It was human suffering. It was a way for him to completely identify with us as human beings. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But it was a real human body. Galatians 4 continues on with this idea. "When the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law." So he was born just like anybody else. He was... Of course, he had the Holy Spirit as the Lord overcame Mary, so that the offspring that she had would be holy. But still, he was born like we are, and he was born under the old law, the Mosaic law, and he had to keep that law just like anybody else, and he did it perfectly, much different than us, of course. But Jesus Christ was born just like you and I. He was a real person, a real human being. And how do we know Jesus is real? I mean, just because we've heard this and through all this time, how do we really know that Jesus is real? I mean, have you seen him? I haven't seen him personally. No, and he isn't making appearances today. He's not showing himself and like he did right after his resurrection. So how do we know that Jesus is real and that he still has a real body and that he is alive? Well, we have eyewitnesses like John and the other apostles that tell us these things. And that's what we see in 1 John 1:1. And he makes it clear. He says, "I was what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life." So he's talking about himself and all of those who were the apostles and all of those who were traveling and ministering with Jesus Christ. He says, "Listen, we heard what he said with our own ears. It wasn't a vision. It wasn't anything else. It was a real audible sound coming from a real human being who told these things. We heard Jesus Christ. We've seen him with our own two eyes. We are eyewitnesses." And it's so important when you go into a court of law to have an eyewitness. If you have a couple of eyewitnesses, there's really nothing else that can trump that, or very little. And so they saw him with their very own eyes. And John is one of these witnesses and says, "Listen, I was there. I was with Jesus I saw him do these things. I was on the boat with him when he calmed the sea. I was there when he was healing people, and I saw it with my own two eyes. And he says also that he looked at and touched with our hands. I mean, we saw these people. We felt them with our own hands. We patted Jesus on the back. We gave him a hug. He washed our feet, and we walked with him, and we ate with him, and passed things back and forth. You know, we touched him. It was with our own hands. Our own hands have handled Jesus Christ. He is real concerning the word of life, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we know that Jesus Christ is real, that he is a human being, and that he was on this earth and said and did all of these things? Because of these eyewitnesses who tell us these things. We are depending upon their eyewitness testimony, and it is sure. It is sure. Not only that, but we see in the scriptures some of those things that John mentions, that Jesus was hungry. We see that in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 2. He was thirsty. John 29 and verse 28 says, he grew tired. John 4 verse 6, he wept just like other human beings in John 11, 35. All of these things that we as real human beings do as part of our existence as humans, Jesus did. Again, of course, without sin, Jesus did all of these things, but he did and was all of these things just like you and I. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 2 says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. You know, there are some groups that say they believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't really believe that he has come in the flesh. They don't really believe that Jesus became part of the human race, but they just believe that he appeared here on earth or whatever it might be. And those are not true Christian faiths, because John says, this is how you know the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God testifies. The Spirit of God says Jesus was real. He came in the flesh. He was a human being just like you and I. And so that is one of the tests to show that we are in the faith and truly believing the correct things. For many deceivers have come out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Wow, that puts it in even stronger terms for us. Those who deny Jesus Christ coming in the flesh and that he was God in fleshly form, in human form, are those who are deceivers and Antichrist. They are against Jesus Christ. That's some pretty heavy things to think about. You can see how important it is in the scriptures to believe that Jesus Christ is really human and came in the flesh. Therefore, also his suffering on the cross was real. And this is where it becomes really important for us, okay? If Jesus Christ didn't come in the flesh, then the suffering that he suffered on the cross was just an apparition. It wasn't real. It was a show. And therefore, God is really seen to be just a liar, essentially, because he's just putting on a big show. If it didn't really hurt Jesus Christ, if he wasn't really human, if it didn't really matter, then his suffering was meaningless. And his suffering is not, therefore, applicable to us in our sinful situation. But his suffering on the cross really was real. And we see that, of course, even looked ahead from Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our message? Isaiah starts off. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of the parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, like one from whom men hid their face, and he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore. And this is where it gets important. He himself bore these things, our griefs and our sorrows he carried. If he wasn't human, he couldn't do that. If he wasn't real, then he couldn't do those things. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, because he had a real body that could suffer these things and do these things on behalf of the human race, because he was human himself. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearer, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off for out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people? He really died. He was a real human being, and he really died. Unlike all of the shows about Jesus Christ that you see on PBS, you know, he really died. And he really rose again. He really did these things that the scriptures talk about. He was out of the land of the living for the transgressions of my people, to whom the stroke was due. He took our sins that we deserved, and he was punished for those things. If he was not really human, he could not do that on our behalf. His grave was assigned with the wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. And there it is for us, right? The fact that Jesus Christ really came in the flesh means that his sacrifice, his righteous sacrifice on our behalf, will satisfy or will justify us, make us right in God's eyes. And because he will bear our iniquities. Praise the Lord that Jesus did that. Praise the Lord that he has come and that he was real, as the Bible says he was real. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death. He was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. So we see the beauty of Jesus Christ, God's immaculate plan of bringing Jesus Christ here to be part of who we are, so that he might take our sins upon himself. And again, it's kind of this is the incarnation. This is again what we celebrate during Christmas: the coming of Jesus Christ, leaving his glory up in heaven and coming down to be part of humanity, to become born like one of us. And it was so important for him to be able to do that. In 1873, there was a Belgian Catholic priest named Joseph Damien de Wooster. And he was sent to minister to lepers in Hawaii, in the Hawaii island of Molokai. When he arrived, he immediately began to meet each of the lepers in the colony in hopes of building friendships with them. But wherever he turned, people shunned him. It seemed as though every door was closed. He poured out his life into his work. He built a chapel, beginning worship services and pouring out his heart to the lepers, but it was to no avail. No one responded to his ministry. After 12 years, Father Damien decided to leave. Dejectedly, he made his way to the docks to board a ship to take him back to Belgium. As he stood on the dock, he wrung his hands nervously, recounting his futile ministry among the lepers. As he did, he looked down at his hands and he noticed something, some mysterious white spots, and felt some numbness. Almost immediately, he knew what was happening to his body. He had contracted leprosy. It was then that he knew what he had to do. He returned to the leper colony and to his work. Quickly, the word about his disease spread throughout the colony, and within a matter of hours, everybody knew. Hundreds of them gathered outside his hut. They understood his pain, fear, and uncertainty about the future. But the biggest surprise was the following Sunday. As Father Damien arrived at the chapel, he found hundreds of worshipers there. By the time the service began, there were many more with standing room only, and many gathered outside the chapel. His ministry became enormously successful, and the reason? He was one of them. He understood and empathized with the lepers in that colony. And the same is true of Jesus Christ. And he identified with us. He became one of us so that he might know what it's like to be hungry. He might know what it's like to be thirsty. He might know what it's like to sorrow unto death. He might know what it's like to walk along this earth and see a sunset and all of those things. Now, as God, could he know all of those things? Absolutely. He knows everything, doesn't he? We learned that earlier as we looked at the character and attributes of God. But certainly for our sake, for us to be able to see him, to feel him, to have him be part of us means a lot to us, so that we might know that Jesus is who he says he is. Well, not only do we see that it was a real human body, but the body of Christ is also illustrated in the Passover. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. Now, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month they are to each one take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's household, a lamb for each household. Now, the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his neighbor nearest to his house are to take one according to the number of persons in them, according to what each man should eat, you are to divide the lamb. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house in which they eat it. They shall eat it with the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled at all with water, but rather roasted with fire, both its head and its legs, along with its entrails. And you shall not leave any of it until morning. But whatever is left of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in the haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." What a powerful story, of course, of the account of the what happened for the Jews as they were rescued from Egypt by the hand of God. And this lamb was the final judgment upon the nation of Egypt, and the final thing that would bring the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. But when the lamb was killed, they had this lamb, and as it's described there in the passage, and it was to be killed. And when that lamb was killed, its future was over, okay? Its body was rendered useless except for the meat that it would provide for those in the house. And that was its purpose at that point. It was a substitute, one body for another. So this lamb's body for the body of all of those people who were in the household, especially the firstborn who would be killed if that lamb was not sacrificed and its blood put upon the doorposts. One body for another. It could no longer produce wool for its owners. It could no longer produce milk for its owners. And the Egyptian son, just as the Egyptian sons could no longer work or produce for their families because their firstborn would die. It could no longer run or jump in the grass, just as the Egyptian sons would never again be able to play and bring joy to their families either. The lamb could no longer cry out to its mother, just as the Egyptian mothers would never again hear the voices of their sons. If only they would have listened and believed the words of Moses and offered the sacrifice as God prescribed it, then the bodies of their sons would have been passed over and would still be able to do all the things that brought them joy. And Jesus there's a picture of what Jesus did for us. When he died on the cross, his life was over. He was no longer able to do all of the things that we were able to do. We weren't able to talk with him any longer as he was in the grave. He wasn't able to do miracles any longer. All of those things. Jesus' life was over. The only purpose of his life at that point was to provide a sacrifice for us to be able to use and to find benefit from. But we were no longer at that point going to be able to experience him or talk with him or have him rule over us as was expected of the Messiah who is to come. Now, praise the Lord, Jesus didn't stay in the grave, did he? Now, that lamb wasn't going to come back to life. Those Egyptian sons weren't going to come back to life. And so Jesus exceeds the picture here of the lamb, of the Passover lamb, because Jesus Christ came to life. 1 Corinthians 5:7 tells us that Jesus was that Passover lamb. It says, "Clean out the old leaven, so that you may have a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened, for Christ our Passover has been sacrificed." He was the lamb for us. It was his blood that paid the price for our sins and allowed God to pass over us and propitiate our sins. Jesus was the Passover lamb. He gave his body for our body, his eyes for ours, so that we could continue to see all that was created. We should have been the ones that died. We should be the ones who are completely wiped off of the earth and no longer be able to live and function and do all these things. Jesus's nail-pierced hands pierced with nails so that ours could continue to work. His lungs for ours so that we could continue to breathe. His perfect mind for ours so that we could continue to think and to dream and to create. Think about what it means that Jesus Christ was our sacrifice. And it was God's plan from the beginning for God the Son to become a human being so that he could live among us and have perfect fellowship. It wasn't good enough for him to walk in the garden with Adam without having a human body that Adam could touch. God was always planning on sending Jesus to live among us. Can you imagine, though, if we hadn't sinned, what it would be like? Have you ever thought about that? If Adam and Eve had never sinned and nobody else of their children had ever sinned, can you imagine what it would have been like? I think Jesus still would have come. But he would have come to be our ruler. Can you imagine what it would be like if Jesus had been born into a world that never knew sin? The love that we would be able to share with Jesus Christ and have fellowship with God completely. The things that we could have explored together. The leadership that he would have given to us into unifying the human race. But instead of coming to live and enjoy his creation for all of eternity with a body that could truly do human things, he gave it all up to offer that body up on a cross so that now he must go through eternity with the marks of his suffering in his hands and his side for absolutely everybody to see. Jesus had a real human body. And that body was used as a sacrifice for us. Well, the body of Christ is real. It's illustrated in the Passover, and the Christ and the body of Christ is symbolized even in the communion service. Now, thinking of what it would have been like if Jesus had been born into a world of without sin is just a dream of what life could have been like with Jesus. The reality is, of course, that we've all sinned, haven't we? Each and every one of us, we've ruined his perfect world and his perfect future with us. The reality is that he had to die. The question for us is, how will we relate to his death for us? Will we shun and despise his body that was sacrificed for us, or will we embrace and identify ourselves with it? And that, of course, is the significance of the communion service, specifically the bread of the bread and the cup. Luke chapter 22, in verse 19, says, "And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" He gave that bread a special significance to symbolize his body that was going to be given for us. And he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." 1 Corinthians 10, 16 says, "Now, is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ?" We identify with the body of Christ and we identify with his death on our behalf. And this word sharing, it has the idea of participating with, to share in, impart, or fellowship with. And that's the idea that we have with the body of Jesus Christ. We identify with it. We fellowship with Jesus Christ. And we say, listen, what he did on the cross, what he provided for us in his body, I identify with that. I embrace it. He did that for me. There is fellowship with Jesus and I because of what he has done. And I believe those things. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 24 through 26 says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We're identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ, with his sacrifice, but also with his coming again. Because he is going to come again. Amen? He's on his way. I think it's even closer now than it is. Certainly it's closer now than it's ever been. And I think it's going to be soon. And I pray that it will be. But the fact is, Jesus Christ is coming again. And we are identifying with his body. His body that was broken and paid a sacrifice for us, but also his body that was resurrected to new life and that will last for eternity, and we will be with him. And that leads us to the final point. The body of Christ is the prototype for our future body. What's our bodies going to be like? What is the resurrection going to be like for us? What does that mean for us? Well, we're going to be like Jesus Christ. His body is a prototype for us. 1 Corinthians 15, 23, or 12 through 23 says, "Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith also is in vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins." He had to come. "Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished." That's it. They had one life to live. Sure, they lived a great life and a holy life, clean life. But if Jesus Christ didn't raise from the dead, yeah, maybe their sins have been forgiven, but they're not coming back. They're perished. They're gone. "If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ's at his coming. Okay, then we switch to verse 35, sorry. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come? You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or something else. In other words, you don't take a whole wheat stalk, a dead wheat stalk, and plant that in the ground. You don't need to do that. You just need the grain part, right? That's the most important part. You don't need the rest of it. You just take the grain. But God gives it a body just as he wished, and to each of the seeds a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men and another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of birds, and another flesh of fish. And there are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is one, and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for stars differ from star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in a perishable body, it is raised in an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body, it is raised in a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam, talking of Jesus Christ, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. That's us. We're earthy. We were born here, and, that's all we've known, right? And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. But now, we are also heavenly too, aren't we? Why? Because we believe in Jesus Christ and we have been born from above. We have been born into the family of Jesus Christ, born again. And so we've been born to have a heavenly body. Just as we have been born in the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Just as you were born here on this earth and you have a human flesh body, so you will, if you are born again, you will receive a heavenly body fit for eternity, that will be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we are looking forward to. The coming of Jesus Christ and the redemption of our bodies and the resurrection. What a marvelous truth it is to know that Jesus Christ is coming and we will receive a body fit for all of eternity to live with and fellowship with Jesus Christ. And we're really looking forward to that. I know I am. Can't wait for that to happen. You know, Josh McDowell entered university as a young man looking for a good time and searching for happiness and meaning in life. He tried going to church. He found religion unsatisfying. He ran for student leadership positions, but was disappointed by how quickly the glamour wore off. He tried the party circuit, but woke up on Monday mornings feeling worse than he had ever felt before. He finally noticed a group of students engaged in a Bible study, and he became intrigued by the radiance of one of the young ladies. He asked her the reason for it. She looked him straight in the eye, smiled, and said, "Jesus Christ." "Oh, for heaven's sake," he retorted. "Don't give me that garbage about religion." She replied, "I didn't say religion. I said Jesus Christ." The students invited him to intellectually examine the claims of Christ and the evidence supporting Christianity. He accepted their challenge and, after much study and research, finally admitted that he couldn't refute the body of proof supporting Christianity. McDowell received Christ as his Savior, and his research became the background for his book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. One of the major factors in his conversion to Christianity was his inability to ignore the historical resurrection of Jesus Christ, a point he made later to a student at the University of Uruguay who asked him, "Professor McDowell, why can't you intellectually refute Christianity?" "For a simple reason," replied McDowell. "I am not able to explain away an event in history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ." And because he is resurrected, we too will be resurrected as well. Praise the Lord for what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf. What a marvelous thing that Jesus is real. He has a real human body. He came and he was sacrificed for us, just as was pictured in the Old Testament, in the Passover service, just as is illustrated in the communion service. And because of his body, as the prototype for ours, we will be like him someday. Are you looking forward to that? Will you identify with the body of Christ? Will you embrace it? Will you proclaim it to everybody that you come across and say, "Yes, I identify with Jesus Christ. He is a man, the God-man, and I identify with him, and I will gladly embrace him and tell everybody else about what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf." Will you do that this week? And as leading up to Easter, we have a great opportunity to share with people. People are more open during Easter than pretty much any other time, apart from Christmas maybe. So it's a great opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of who Jesus is. I hope that you will share that this week. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your marvelous plan, your plan to send Jesus Christ to be part of us, to be part of the human race, to die on the cross for our sins, to be buried, but not just to stay there, but to rise again in a new body, a heavenly body, being the prototype for us. And Lord, we groan within ourselves, as does all of the creation, because we are still bogged down by the sinfulness of our flesh and of our lives in this world. And we beg of you to send Jesus Christ once again so that he can restore our bodies to what the glory that you had planned for it for all of eternity. We look forward to that day and ask that Jesus would come soon. We pray this in his name. Amen. All right, we're going to take some time for praises and prayer requests this morning. A little stuffy. I'm going to start off. I think I overheard Marlene mention this, but just for everybody to know, somebody in Rand Pelton's workplace contracted COVID, and so the Peltons are at home right now, and they're quarantining, and they have to all get tested because of this co-worker of his. They don't have any symptoms, he said, but they're, you know, they have to be careful at this point. So we need to be praying for the Peltons concerning that for sure. Others this morning. Don't all come at once, yeah. Ralph, go ahead.
Praise the Lord, got our truck back Tuesday.
Praise the Lord.
We've only used it twice since then. We did one call on the way home and then one the next day. So that was real slow, I guess. People use it on other places when they need tow service. So pray that work comes our way.
There's always a bit of a lag time when you're kind of out of service for a while, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Others this morning. Yes, Marion.
I'm just going to give prayers still for Janie. I again don't have any updates. I got to know my sister. My sister knows everything. Nobody tells me anything. Somehow she finds out everything. But I'll try to get some updates with her. I like I said before, I believe she was supposed to start treatment at this point. For friends that don't know, my nephew's girlfriend has been diagnosed with a brain tumor. Had surgery, but And then also for Mom, they're still quarantining up there. Somebody tested positive, and then but they did open up. My sister called up, and they did open up for compassionate care visit. So my brother went and saw her yesterday.
Good.
And my sister and I will go next Saturday. So hopefully things will begin to just ease up there as well.
Yeah. All right. I want to mention also Leah's Aunt Pauline. We've been praying for her for a while. She passed away the other day. Mm-hmm. And so the family is grieving at this point. So, and I know Scott and Paula really wanted to have an opportunity to talk to her, and she was open to speak with them, but she just wasn't physically able to. They wanted to share the gospel with her one more time, but she did read some letters that were sent to her, and she was very appreciative of those. So we don't know what happened in her heart and her mind in the last days of her life. So, others this morning. Yeah, Edith.
Just want to say I'm thankful to God for all he does for us in many situations. I did hear that Wes Ross did have a procedure done for his brain. I don't know what the outcome was, if the tumor was cancerous, or I haven't heard anything about the results. Just pray that he will be able to resume the chemo that he needs for mm-hmm. the bone cancer, and that whatever, if they did a biopsy from the brain tumor, that it would be non-cancerous.
Okay.
At this point, he's still confused.
Mm-hmm.
His wife was ill, which is understandable. His stress is tremendous. But thankfully, they do love the Lord greatly. They've served him for mm-hmm. many, many years. And they just need mercy and comfort.
Okay, definitely. Continue to pray for me. As I've just been really busy with driving. Everybody wants to be up at the mountain right now. It is insane up there. So I've been doing a lot of the shuttling and different things, and it wears not only on me but also on Leah and the kids, because I'm not around to help, and so it's tough, but it will only last for a little while longer. But please be praying for us. All right. Well, let's spend some time quietly before the Lord. If there's any sin that you want to confess, you can do that privately to Him. And then we'll bring these requests and praises to Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the reminder of who you are and what you have done, what your body means to us. And grateful for the forgiveness that we have in you. Lord, it is on the basis of your sacrifice on our behalf in your resurrection that we bring these requests to you. We know that you are able to answer according to your will. So we pray for the Pelton family as they are quarantining. We pray that they don't have COVID. Thank you that they don't have any symptoms. Pray that that would continue and that they would not have any symptoms nor have any COVID at all. Lord, we pray too for Ralph. We thank you for getting his truck back to him. And now we pray for the work to be restored, provide the work that they need to be able to pay their bills and live. So just guide them and help them with that, I pray. And Lord, we pray for Janie and her brain tumor. Oh Lord, just have mercy upon her. We pray that you would help her through this time, and her husband too, and as it's been difficult for him. So just work in them and help them, I ask. We pray, too, for Marion's mom and all of those who are up at the manor and nursing homes throughout the United States, and how difficult it is for them. We pray especially for Marion's mom as they're quarantining now. Thank you that they were able to, her brother and sister, her brother was able to go and visit. So we pray that that she'd be able to, would be able to go here soon, and nothing would stop that. So just help her mom. Is this long stretch of loneliness has, I'm sure, been difficult for her. So just encourage her. Lord, I pray for the Hodgson family at the passing of Pauline. We pray for their comfort during this time. I pray for opportunities to share the gospel. I pray that, oh Lord, that they would not be trusting in religion, but that they would be trusting in Jesus Christ. Help them and guide them during this time, I ask. And we pray, too, for Wes Ross as he has had this procedure. We're waiting to hear the results, but you know them even before they were taken. We ask that you would be with him and his wife and just guide them through this time, especially as he's confused and doesn't really know what's going on. I pray that for your healing hand upon him, we ask. And Lord, I pray too for even my work this week and until this driving is done for the season. I just pray for the strength for me and my family, and also just to be able to get all the work done here at church that needs to be done as well. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks everybody for coming today. Good to see you all. May God bless you and have a great week. We'll see you soon.
There's new Our Jolly Breads out there?
Yes, the larger print ones. I wasn't expecting them.
Thank you.
But
God was.
That's right. The Lord was. He knew. So.
Gabriel.
I'm packing the cell phone. Yeah. I'll get back to you. I got a Verizon on me.
Oh, I do have some ideas. So, there's a number of things around here. Yeah, I mean, we want to do something with the front here. I want to do something like I don't know what some of your skills are at different
places.
Well,
he's going to
shoot. Oh! Well, that helps. I used to build furniture.
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
So,
was that in Ohio?
In Ohio, yeah.
Really?
The kids, yeah.
Did you learn from your
dynamics.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. We had to have an opportunity for it. You were going to finish the
PowerPoint. That's awesome. That's good writing, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to do some lanes?
Yeah, we want to kind of have that section. It's just white. We want to put some like 45 degree angle wood, and then have a cross that's backlit.
Wow.
Yeah. That look cool. That look cool.
That's what I
so. So that's an idea.
In your spare time.
In my spare time. I usually get back around 7 o'clock from the shuttles.
I went on first thing.
Okay.
We're real close.
And maybe we can include Brian Bailey, too, because he did the same thing. He knows how to do the lighting and all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
But yeah, it's such a... It is blank. It doesn't look so great.
What is it?
It's a false front, and they had a curtain up behind there. We painted the room and lost the curtain, so. Which is a shame, but we did lose the curtain. So.
Checking the site,
it would involve obviously some electric.
electric organisms are really out with that.
Yeah, but it's mostly
stuff like that, so.
What's for me?
Yeah, I got Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yes, sir.